All right, welcome everybody. It's good to see you guys on a Friday here. It's a little chilly out, right? But not bad. Right in the middle of the NCAA tournament. We are on Psalm 35, and this is one of those laments, a really interesting one of David. And we got through verse 10 last time. And we have a little, we're going to try to go through 20, I think, today. So we'll go from 11 to 20. And we got some interesting forms and structures here, all right? So if you will remember last time, he had been getting more and more specific through the first part of the psalm, and he even switches from they to he in verse 8. Verse 10, we finished off with him kind of beginning to describe his situation. So remember verse 10. All my bones call out, O Lord, who is like you, one who delivers the afflicted from one stronger than him, and the humble and the poor from those robbing him. That's where we finished off. So now we continue. I want you to see, just kind of pay attention to some verb forms here throughout the next couple verses, all right? So when we get to verse 11, Yekumun Eidei Hamas, Asher Lo Yadati Yish Aluni. Notice that this one is, the first one is an imperfect from kum, and it's a call. And notice that there's a paragogic nun on there that marks it as an imperfect form. So you wouldn't translate this with volitive or jussive force, okay? And so we would translate, Eide Hamas is the subject. And Eide is a plural construct from witness, aid. So witnesses of Hamas, violence. So we would say probably something like violent witnesses rise, or stand up, we would say. Asher, notice, marks a relative clause. And initially it might be... Asher, who might be referring back to these people, see? So witnesses of violence or violent witnesses rise, who or whom, lo yadati, I do not know. All right, and then you could translate, yish aluni, this is, notice, another call imperfect from sha'al, to ask. They ask me. All right. So if you do it that way, you'd have to almost in English translate something like, violent witnesses rise up, whom I do not know. They question me. Okay, but you could also understand that asher to refer to things. So what I do not know, they ask me. So some translations go, they ask me what I don't know about. All right. Yeah, and that's probably the more common way to translate that line. So I think what he's trying to say there is that the false witnesses are accusing him, and he's being questioned for things he doesn't know about. That's kind of the way it's generally understood. All right. Good. Any questions about that verse? All right. Yes, shalmuni ra'atacha tova shekol lenafshi. Okay, verse 12. So... notice that the first word, then we kind of continue this understanding that he's describing. And this is, everybody see what conjugation this is? From what root, first of all?
Shalom.
Shalom. And notice it's a PL form, PL imperfect. And shalom in the call means to be complete. So remember, when you're moving from a stative verb in the call, it's going to become active, either transitive or intransitive in the PL. So, they pay me back. Yeshalem. They pay me back ra'a. Evil, tachat tova. Evil instead of good. Shekol is a noun here that means bereavement or childlessness. From shakal. Shakal means to be bereft of children. Okay, so if you... it's that kind of experience that he's describing. So here, shekol is the noun that means forlornness or forsakenness. lenafshi, to my soul. Notice there's no verb there, so you have to almost supply an is verb. There is shekol, forsakenness, that word for the feeling that you have when you're bereft of your children. That's what it is, forlornness, you know. That's kind of how it's sometimes translated, to my soul. All right, and again, the lack of a verb gives you kind of an emotional intuition or emotional push to the line. Okay? Any questions on verse 12? Okay. Now notice syntactically what happens in verse 13. He has a va'ani. So notice the contrast between them and him. Okay, that's kind of where it's turning. Va'ani ba chalotam levushi sak ineti batzom nafshi utefilati al cheki tashu. All right. But I, or as for me, and notice there's the Masoretes just have a little note there if you guys are interested in that. That Samic Zion there is, 66 times Rosh Pasuk. So 66 times Va'ani comes at the beginning of the verse is what it's saying. 33 of them are in the writings. So that's how they counted. That just kind of gives you a little idea. So, but as for me, ba'chalotam. All right. See this? This is the preposition, bait, plus chalot, which is from the root chala. It's a third hey verb. So this is an infinitive construct. Remember, third hey verbs have that ot infinitive construct, plus a suffix at the end. Third masculine plural suffix. So it's chala means to be weak or to be sick. So notice we have the bait in front of it. And here, a temporal translation works very well. As for me, in their being sick, or we would say, when they were sick, levushi, see the root behind it, lavash, to dress in. So this is my dress, levush. My dress was sock, was sackcloth. So the line goes, but as for me, when they were sick, my dress was sackcloth. Okay? Okay, now, inati is from the root ana. Everybody see that that's a third hey root? The yud comes back when you add the consonantal suffixes. And see that conjugation is a PL form. And it means, remember, ana can mean a number of different things. You know it as to answer. It can also mean to be busy, to occupy yourself with. Ana can also mean to sing, and it can also mean to afflict. That's what it means here. All right, so if you look in the lexicon, you'll see like four different entries for ana, at least four. All right, so I afflicted ba zom. Zom means fasting. I afflicted my soul with fasting. Okay. So as for me, when they were sick, my dress was sock, was sackcloth. I afflicted with fasting my soul. Okay. Now the next line is a little more obscure, and there's some interesting things that happen as well. Utefilati, that's not so hard. And my prayer, from tefillah, and my prayer, al-cheki. Chek is breast. And al is the preposition, we would probably say, to my breast. But now notice the verb form, tashuv. It's from the shuv, and it's a prefixed verb. All right. Notice that let me translate first and then talk about it. And my prayer returned to my breast. It seems to mean something like he prayed continually for them. All right. That's all right. He prayed continually. Everybody see that? But I want you to see that he's describing what happened in the past using, notice here that the verb in 13 is a perfect tense, inati, okay? So he's talking about a past experience. When they were sick, my dress was sackcloth. I afflicted my soul with fasting. And my prayer, now notice he switches verb forms to an imperfect form. All right. Some translations then will translate, my prayer kept returning as continuous action, durative action, was returning to my breast. Notice that he seems to be describing a habitual situation in the past, what he would habitually do when one of his enemies was sick. Okay, everybody with me there? Now he uses, normally in Hebrew, you use prefix verbs for that, to translate like a mist would go up or something that was habitually done, used to, right? But here he seems to use perfect form and then a imperfect form to describe habitual action. All right. Now he may do the switch just because it's kind of the end of the line or the end of the thought. All right, because he switches back to perfect tenses in verse 14. Some suggest that this is a preterite form. Could be, you know. And so you'll see some translations. If you translate the whole thing in past tense, when they were sick, my dress was sackcloth. I afflicted my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned to my breast. I suppose you could understand it. The whole thing is habitual. But notice you could also translate that tashuv as my prayer would return to my breast, or again, a lot of translations opt for a durative, kept returning to my breast. All right, there's a number of different ways to render that. And the line is not, you know, it's not kind of crystal clear what he's actually talking about, but that it's generally understood to say, you know, I prayed for them, I fasted for them, and that was a habit that I engaged in. Okay? So it's kind of an oddity there syntactically, that switch. Okay, good. Any questions on 13? Am I making sense? Yeah.
You had mentioned he was praying for his enemies, fasting for his enemies.
He seemed to be those people who were rising against him. In other words, he's contrasting their behavior with his. So right. They stood up and spoke false against him. They paid evil instead of good. As for me, okay. Look what I did when they were sick. And so very, you know, here in the Psalms you have him suggesting that, hey, when they were in trouble, I put on sackcloth, I fasted, I prayed for them continually.
I guess when we were going through it, until you had said enemies, my mind was going, he was doing this for his kids when they were sick. Like, is he... one of the verbs, like he was bereft of children.
Oh, yeah, that's see the shekol there. He may be just be using that for, you know, they pay me back evil. Bereftness was to my
soul.
That's what they did to me. Now, whether they literally, I don't think you necessarily have to understand that they literally killed his children, mm-hmm. but rather that's the feeling that he had.
Okay.
It's right. Like that.
Okay.
You know, there was that kind of loss to himself. Yeah, I mean, you can really sense the depth of his emotional grief and pain here at the hand of his enemies, what they're doing to him.
Okay.
Yeah, any other questions on 13? Everything clear there? He continues then in verse 14. And notice again the syntax. It's very terse. Kerea ke'achli, hit halakti, ka'avel aim, koder shachoti. All right. So, kerea, as a friend, as a brother to me. See, notice no verbs. As a friend, as a brother to me. And notice he goes back to singular. He's going back and forth between plural and singular here. I haven't kind of check closely enough to see how regular that is. But notice, as a brother, or as a friend, as a brother to me, hit halakti. I walked around. I walked about. That's a hit pile from halak. All right. So it's kind of like in longer English, you would say, as if he was a friend. And then he ups the ante. As if he were a brother, I walked around. I went around. Okay. Now notice he ups it even more. Ka'avel aim. Avel is a noun that means mourning, as mourning for a mother. See, so he ups it. Notice he gets, you know, as a friend, that's one relationship. As a brother is closer. As your mother is the closest, see? So as as the mourning for mother, a mother. Koder is, again, a simple call participle to be in mourning. So as one in mourning, shachoti, I was bowed down. This is from a root shachach, double line root. Just like, remember, savav. All right, shachach. So this is a call perfect first common singular. And you get that O vowel before the suffix is savav. So it would be savota, sabot, saboti, same thing, shachoti, first common singular. Okay. Questions through 14? All right. You get the sense, I mean, syntactically, notice how he conveys or expresses this kind of emotion of grief and pain and sorrow through the terseness of the syntax, through the way he ups the ante from the relationships. Notice there's just a number of techniques that convey the depth of what he's feeling, and that's an important part of our interpretation of the psalm, the quality, qualitativeness of the language he's using. Okay? It's not just kind of speaking monotone here. You can almost hear the sorrow and
it's
pain.
A staccato.
Yeah, I mean, right. Hear the, yeah. Just like when you're under deep distress, your syntax is going to be more fractured and more irregular, and you're going to speak in this kind of simile and metaphor, see? So what was it like? It was like a friend or brother I walked around with him, like one mourning for his mother, see? And now here, the contrast becomes even starker. Now watch what happens in 15. Upet zal'i samchu ve ne'asafu. Ne'asafu alai. Nekim velo yadati. Kar'u velo damu. Okay. Zala means stumbling. So, upet zal'i. In my stumbling, samchu. You know that one. They rejoiced. Now notice the syntax. Ve'ne asafu ne asafu alai. Okay. So asaf means to gather. So here's a nifal perfect. Alright, nifal perfect, third common plural from asaf. So in my stumbling they rejoiced. And in the call it means to gather sticks. You have an object. So here you have kind of a, I would say, active intransitive. They gather themselves, but we don't even need to say themselves. So you would just say, in my stumbling, they rejoiced. And they gathered. Okay, now notice how he goes from, to make it more specific, and they gathered. They gathered a lie against me. See? So, ve ne'asafu, ne'asafu a lie. They gathered. They gathered against me. Okay? Now this next word is obscure. Ne'kim. Notice it looks like a plural noun. And in other context, it's from the root nakat, to smite, and it is used for crippled, like crippled in your feet, the crippled ones. And so there's textual problem here because it seems like, see, they're the ones being the aggressors, and so there's a number of emendations. Notice that will have some translations that would say that it's from Nakar, to be strange, Nakrim. So it would say strangers. So some may translate strangers, and I do not know them, Yadati. But if you stick with the text, some point it to a participle from Naka, call participle Nokim, those who smite or afflictors, and I do not know them. All right, but if you stick with the Masoretic text, Barthelemy suggests Nekim would mean cripples, all right? And he's saying it sarcastically that they're imitating him, because Zela means, that other word, limp, to limp. So that he suggests that he's using it as a term to describe how they're acting towards. They're making fun of him, in other words. Cripples. So in I'd put it in italics. See, cripples, and I do not know them. Okay, now that's another possibility if you want to go with the pointing of the Masoretic text. Just to tell you that that's an obscure word, and there's different ways that translations and commentaries will try to solve it. All right. Kar'u is, again, a call perfect. They tear. Velo damu. Again, this is from damam. Okay, to be enough, to be sufficient. So, and they are not filled, or they are not, they do not stop. They are not silent. Damam. They are not silent. They just keep going. That's a call perfect. Okay. Questions through 15, because 16 is even more interesting syntactically. Any questions? Yeah? All right. Here's verse 16 then. Bechanfe la'ge ma'og. Charok alai shinemo. Very interesting. Bechanfe, notice that that's a construct form. Chanef means... it's an adjective, means profane. Okay. So, profane or polluted, chanef. So we would translate, it's in construct with la'ege. La'eg means scorn, scorners. A scorner, la'eg. La'ag means to scorn. So, it would be, so those two words together, notice that's in construct. And la'age is plural construct. Notice that tsere yud. And then ma'og is genitive, ma'og. And that refers to a cake, like you'd eat at a festival. Some will translate it as festival. You might have it in your translation. So very woodenly, it's with the profanities, or not with, but the bait. I'll come back to the bait in a second. Profanities of mockers of a cake or festival, okay? But the bait, you should translate like kind of a bait of identity. It's kind of like in the guise of or like. So you translate like the profanings or the profanities of mockers at a festival or at a party. Okay, that's probably the best we can do with that line. So that's how they're talking to him. You know, when you're at a body party, people start to use all kinds of language, profanities and stuff you don't normally hear. And they mock, they make fun of stuff and things like that over the food, over whatever. So that is the impression that he's giving here. So that's how they're talking to him. So notice his demeanor, his behavior over and against theirs. It's like night and day. So, like the profanities of mockers at a ma'og, at a party, or over a cake, or something like that. All right. Charok is another interesting form. Charok means to gnash with your teeth. This is a call infinitive absolute. You will remember that infinitive absolutes can sometimes stand in for other verbs, and that seems to be what they're doing here. Charok, they gnash at me, shinemo, their teeth. And notice that you get that alternative third masculine plural suffix, mo suffix. All right, and that's found a lot of times in the writings and in biblical poetry instead of the more common hem. Okay. So they gnash at me, they gnash their teeth at me. Okay? That's a hard line. I think that's the hardest one in this section right here. But again, it makes sense, the oddity of the syntax and morphology and everything, how he's describing them, very alien-like, very strange. So notice how the speech matches the kind of people he's talking about. Okay, any questions through 16? All right. 17, Adonai, kama tira, hashiva nafshi mi shoehem, mikfirim yechidati. O Adonai, how long, comma, how long, tirah, will you look on? See, now we're in common ground. See, now it's like, from ra'ah. How long will you look on? Hashiva, this is from shuv. Notice that it is a hifil imperative. Okay, and notice the if field makes the intransitive call return transitive. So return nafshi, return my soul from their show up, from their ravages, showa. Again, that's used. There's a number of words here that are used only once here or just a couple other times. So this is from showa. So return my soul from their ravages. And notice, again, it's using the more common third masculine plural suffix here. See that in contrast to shinemo? From kefirim, from lions, yechidati. Yachid means only one, my only soul. So yechida refers back to nefesh. So again, O Lord, how long will you look on? Return or restore my soul from their ravages, from lions, my only one. Sounds like Psalm 22. It does. Okay. Questions through 17? All right, let's go to 18. Odeka bekahal rav. Be'am atzum ahaleleka. Okay, I will praise you from yada. Again, hifil, imperfect, first common, singular. I will praise you in a kahal rav, in the great congregation, among be, a people atzum is mighty, among a mighty people atzum. Ahaleleka, I will praise you. This is a PL from halal. And notice that there's an energic nun in there, the little dagesh in the final cough, preceded by the short vowel, segol, tells you there's an assimilated nun. Ahalelenka. Right, sometimes you get those energic nuns, and they're usually on imperfect forms. So I will praise you in a great congregation. In a mighty people, I will, again, praise you. So I would probably translate, I will thank you in the great congregation among a mighty people. I will praise you. Okay? Questions? Yes?
I was thinking this is just a great psalm for Lent because, you know, how Jesus, as he's going through his passion, is reciting the psalms.
Yep.
I wonder if this is one, as they're whipping him, you know, that they're making fun of me, they're mocking, you know, and he's praying this psalm.
Yeah, this is a good psalm for Lent. It's exactly right. That's right. Right. Okay. Let's do one more verse here. Al yismechu li oy vai sheker sonachinam yik ratzu ein. Let them not rejoice, samach, over me. And here's the subject: my enemies. Let not my enemies rejoice over me. Now, notice sheker means lie or falsehood. And so, notice how you can have a noun that functions as an adverb. Just it's juxtaposed to the sentence here without a preposition or anything. So we would translate, let my enemies not rejoice over me wrongly. All right, he's kind of returning to the theme at the beginning of the psalm, that these guys were doing this wrong, and that's the whole thing. Notice how he's been treating them and how they treat him. So again, he kind of sums up here. Son I, those who hate me, again, that's a participle, call participle, with a suffix for plural. Those who hate me, chinam, that's a without reason. See, again, that would be in parallel with sheker. Those who hate me without reason, yik retsu, karatz is one of those hapaxes, I think, once or twice maybe. It means to wink or to pinch the ayin, eye. So, again, it's translated, those who hate me without reason, wink their eye or blink their eye. And I think that means kind of, you know, that smirk or that he's talking about a kind of look of scorn. You know, they kind of look at you like that, I guess. I mean, you can imagine what it must be. So I think that all probably carries over. I don't know if translations do that or not. Let my enemies not rejoice over me wrongly. Let not those who hate me for no reason pinch their eye. I mean, you could either translate it or not, but generally people will see that negation carry over to the second colon. Is that what they do? Okay. All right, very good. Any questions through 19? All right, very good then. Next Friday we will not meet. It's Good Friday, and we will continue and hopefully get through the psalm after Easter. Blessings on your occasion to remember Christ's death and his glorious resurrection. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thanks.